Hello, this is Matt Dunn with Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio, and I am here in Raleigh, North Carolina with David Jay, who is known from many bands such as Bauhaus, Love and Rockets, and a very long solo career. And he is currently on his Vagabond Songs tour. I wanted to ask you, David, about, you've been doing a lot of solo tours recently. Did you call it a living room tour? Was that the kind of the concept you did on a previous tour?
Well, the living room tour is ongoing, and that is basically the concept behind my touring policy these days, in that I play actual living rooms, or I play for private hosts and they pick a venue, and the venue can be anything from their living room, or I've played in tattoo parlors, chapels. I played at the chapel in the Bonaventure Cemetery in Savannah a couple of days ago. It can be a pub. I played in a pub in London. It could be anything, but it's set up by the music fans, you know. So it's outside of the industry, which I really like. Cuts out the middleman, and of course, by the nature of these gigs, they're very intimate, and the attention is very different to that of a conventional venue. You know, it's more focused and it's more familial, and it's like a shared communal experience, which is really great.
So do you prefer that as opposed to some of the bigger venues you've played in previous years?
Yeah, on the whole, yeah. I mean, it's a blast, like playing in front of 20,000 people in a big place. I can't say that's not a thrill, but as far as like a sustained mode of touring, this is much more preferable for me. Just playing to, I play to on average 50, sometimes 100 people, and that makes it really intimate and special, and very different experience.
Well, that's great. I was actually going to ask you what it was like playing in a graveyard in Savannah.
Well, the chapel was in the middle of the graveyard. It was wonderful, and I tailored the set to suit the venue, which I often do. And these days, I don't really have a set list, as it were. I have a pool of songs, and I have the songs scrawled out on a bit of paper taped to my guitar, and I just kind of pick them as I go. But that night, I was selecting tracks that were complementary to the environment. I did things like Knocking on Heaven's Door and Bob Dylan cover, and Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. I did Bela Lugosi's Dead because it was especially gothic. I just sort of feel out the venue, the atmosphere, you know, and then let that kind of suggest where I take the song journey that is the set.
And I was also going to ask you about David Bowie. I had read that he was your main inspiration that really got you into music when you were a kid.
Yeah, you could say that. Well, prior to him, there was Mark Bolan and T-Rex, just like a year before Bowie really exploded on the scene. Although I discovered Bowie before Ziggy. My first album that I bought by him was Hunky Dory. And how I discovered that was, there was a TV show, very popular, although it was, I say popular, it was more like an underground show as opposed to Top of the Pops, which was popular, hence the title. But this was more like more of a serious show, and sometimes they would, on the old Grey Whistle Test, they would play a track, but the performer wouldn't be on. They'd play it and they'd screen an old 1920s silent movie or something, Fritz the Cat or something like that. And I heard this track that completely arrested me, which was Andy Warhol by Bowie. And that was the first time I heard Bowie, and of course I hadn't seen him. The next day I went down and I bought a copy of Hunky Dory, which contained that track. And I remember on the bus ride home, on the double-decker bus in Northampton, poring over those lyrics and being really intrigued. I was 15 at the time, and just couldn't wait. I ran from the bus stop to play on my parents' big gramophone, this big mahogany gramophone player, and I was just completely arrested, just sucked into that world, you know, and that was it from then on. And then shortly after that, Ziggy Stardust came out, and then every album that he put out in the 70s was amazing, you know. And so, yeah, hugely influential.
And that brings me to my next question. You wrote a song recently about David Bowie.
Yeah.
Called The Day That David Bowie Died.
Yes, and I wrote it on that day. I was on tour in Portland, Oregon, staying at the Crystal Hotel, and I got the news, and I played Black Star again for the second time. It had only just come out, as we know. I played it. Prior to that, I'd been playing a living room show in Seattle, and I played it for the first time after my gig there. And I was holed up in the basement. It was a perfect environment, very dark and subterranean. I just stuck the headphones on and played it. I was really knocked out by the album. And then, of course, you know, like 2 days later, he passed. And so I played it that night, and it had an entirely different context. And after I sort of gathered my emotions to a degree, I channeled all of what I felt into a song. It just poured out of me. And I was fortunate enough that I had a session book the next day in Portland to record something else, but I took the opportunity to record that song. So it was so vital. And I said, I really got a feeling in the studio that I was picking up on something that was in the air, just the psychically. It was so intense, the outpouring of emotion online and just in the ether. I really think I channeled something of that, and that came out in the recording, and that's the track on the new album, Vagabond Songs.
And I wanted to ask you about, you wrote a book in recent years called Who Killed Mr. Moonlight? Bauhaus, Black Magic, and Benediction.
Yes.
How long did that take to write?
In all, 7 years. But the main body of the book took 2 years, two intense years, but then I was honing it, but I'm still honing it now, and it's about to come out in October, a third edition. It's going to be a hardback this time, and a slipcase is going to be, as well as a paperback, but there's going to be a several tiers of deluxe editions that are part of this third edition, which I'm really delighted about. And there's going to be some more photos and a little bit more text, and there's going to be a limited edition 7-inch single, which is I'm really pleased about. It's going to be two different versions of Bela Lugosi's Dead, and on the other side the same title as the book, Who Killed Mr. Moonlight, two Bauhaus songs, of course, but with strings. And yeah, there's going to be some prints, so it's a rather fancy item.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you about a song by Love and Rockets, the song Waiting for the Flood.
Yes.
Is there a story behind that song?
Well, like most of the songs on that album are some more. It's very introspective, and it's very spiritually inclined, and it was just a period of really getting caught up in wanting to search for spiritual truth, and that song for me, it conveys that yearning, as does the song Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, a yearning for spiritual enlightenment, and really, that's probably my favourite Love and Rockets song. It's very acoustic, it's introspective, kind of bucolic, and I think it's a very strong record. It has a really strong atmosphere, mood.
Did you move to the United States in recent years?
No, I moved to the States 19 years ago.
19 years ago?
Yeah, so I've been here a long time.
And what first brought you over here?
Because Love and Rockets were very popular here, and we were touring constantly, and we were being very well looked after, and we kind of fell in love with America and the American people, and we preferred it to England, there was a sense of openness and a kind of spiritual kind of expansiveness, a generosity of spirit. And I think that's still abroad, as much as the country's become so beleaguered of late, but that essential spirit is still there, you know. And I've got a lot of great friends here, you know, including our host here, Joel. And that's another great thing, we're doing these living room shows, you know, the hosts become friends, and some of the audience as well, and it's like a network of it's familial, it really is like that. And that didn't exist back in the old touring days, you know, it was more cynical, and you're just dealing with promoters and agents, and you get cynical yourself, and that is that's a shame, you know. And that it comes out in the performance, either as frustration or just a kind of world weary touring world weary attitude, you know, that doesn't really help in putting across an uplifting performance, you know. So it's kind of soul destroying, but this way of doing things is the opposite. It's generative, you know.
Well, that reminds me of how I actually first heard of your music.
Yeah,
I had a therapist in high school, and he used to see all my punk rock shirts, like The Clash and the Sex Pistols. And my therapist, his name was actually Dr. Roger Moore, believe it or not. And he's like, you like that punk rock music? You ever heard of this band called Bajas? And I was like, no. And he's like, you got to check them out. And that's how I first came across your music. So.
Oh, interesting. I've never heard that. That's a new one.
Yeah.
It's therapy, folks.
Exactly, yeah. So therapy brought me to your music.
But it was kind of therapy for us being in that band, because it was certainly like an exorcism of a lot of pent-up frustrations and feelings, and again, sort of yearning for something that was elevated and something that was really inspirational. And we were reaching for that ourselves, and to break through this kind of mundanity of little English town life, where we were very much outsiders, we were very alienated. But of course, that's all very inspiring when you're in a band like that, you know. It makes you pull together like a little gang, and you find your own mode of expression, you know. Unfortunately for us, that resonated with a lot of other kids who were feeling in a similar way. And the case.
Which brought me to one of my last questions. I wanted to ask you about the song Bela Lugosi's Dead. Was that the first song that you ever wrote for Bauhaus?
It was the first song where we all made an equal contribution. Well, you know, it started off with the lyrics, which I wrote, following a conversation I was having with Daniel about vampire films, because there was a run on TV of vampires, movies. So we're just talking about all these different manifestations of the vampire, Dracula. And it was in my head, and then I just started writing down, you know, this lyric. I had a job in a warehouse, and I would ride a bicycle from the warehouse back home. And I wrote that on the bike ride home, on the slips that we would use to attach to the packages that we would send off. So I had all these yellow slips in my back pocket, so I wrote it out on all the slips. By the time I got it back, I had that complete lyric, and then just transcribed it. And then I think it was the next night, just gave that to Peter and said, I've got a new lyric here, you know. And Daniel started playing the guitar part, and then Kevin starts playing the bossa nova rhythm, because that was one of two beats that he'd learned from an old jazz guy. And then I came in with that bass, the bass line. It's actually bass chords. And then Peter started singing the lyric pretty much as you hear it on the record. So that just fell into place instantly. And we knew it was something pretty special. So we wanted to record it as soon as we could, which we did. Yeah.
And my co-host, he does a goth night sometimes at Ruby Deluxe. And his DJ name is Bela Lugosi's dad.
I saw that.
Yeah,
I was quite amused by that.
Well, so lastly, I wanted to ask you about writing songs. Do you find inspiration while you're on the road touring? Or do you already have things in mind? Like, do you write while you're off the road? Or is it a little bit of both?
I find touring these days very inspirational as far as getting ideas for songs. And I never try to write songs, they just bubble up. You know, they present themselves. I'm paid a visit by the Muse, and I feel blessed by that. And a lot of the songs on the album, on the Vagabond Songs album, refer to places and people that I've encountered touring. And in fact, I've listed each track has a location listed next to it, because that's either where I was when I wrote the song, or that's where the inspiration of the song came from, or the person I met was in that place. So yeah, it's very much the case, and I'm touring constantly now, so it's ongoing, and the inspiration continues to be ongoing, so it's great. I've almost got enough for another album already.
Well, thanks for talking to us today on Damaged Goods.
You're most welcome.
And where can people go online if they want to hear your music?
Well, my site is davidjonline.com, and there's a Bandcamp as well, David J. But it's all linked. The main hub is davidjonline.com, and everything is there. Twitter, Facebook, everything is accessible via that site.